And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and is not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for joining us today on Lifestyle Improvement. Today, we will continue with part two of our interview with Dr. Lorna Bradley. Dr. Bradley is an ordained deacon at the United Methodist Church. She received her degree in divinity from Perkins School of Theology in Dallas, Texas. Her doctoral project examined how churches can provide holistic emotional and spiritual support as they welcome families or caregivers of children with special needs. She is also a fellow of the Hope and Healing Institute, where she creates resources to help support families that have members with special needs.
Correct, absolutely. And I do know I have a couple of friends that have children, other children in addition to the one that they have that has special needs. So they have to deal with some of the guilt related to what they have to limit for their typical kids.
Yes.
Because they, of course, have to cater to the needs of the special needs child. And
yes,
that is a constant balancing act, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the parents that I've worked with that have siblings that are typical, that's very common. They say they just feel their other kids get shortchanged because the child with special needs takes more of their time, more of their resources, more of their energy. And sometimes they feel they don't have a lot left to give. And of course, they'll feel guilty about that as well. And I attended a panel discussion one time where they had a panel of siblings, typical siblings who were there speaking, and they ranged from elementary age up to early college age. And it was interesting, one of the gals who was in college said that she felt when she was growing up that she had to be perfect. And it wasn't anything that her parents did. She just saw how much they dealt with and didn't feel like they could deal with anymore. Mm-hmm. And so she put that on herself, mm-hmm, that she needed to not add to their to-do list. And, you know, of course, here's an adult woman hearing this. It's her college-age daughter. And, you know, she said, oh, that just made me feel so guilty. But our lives are about relationship. We're made for relationship. And that was her daughter's gift to her, because she recognized her mom's need wasn't anything her mom put on her. And so yes, it would be lovely if we had 100% of our time to be at 100% in each of our relationships, mm-hmm, at all times. But, you know, life's a balancing act, and you accept the gifts that you can, and you give yourself forgiveness for the places where you fall short.
Lots of forgiveness.
Absolutely.
So in your book, you also deal with some of the more difficult things that parents have to deal with, that have children with special needs. What, in your opinion, are those very difficult things or more difficult things that they have to deal with? And what are some of the suggestions that you give caregivers or parents in order for them to take care of themselves in the process of overcoming or being able to survive the requirements that these situations in life demand of them?
I think it's caregiving. When you're spending so much time caring for another person, it is so easy to put yourself absolutely on the bottom of the list. That is a chronic problem, mm-hmm, throughout this. And I think especially, you know, as Christians, there's this sense that we should be selfless, that we should put others first. And that's true. Putting the needs of others ahead of our own at times is important. But Christ even models for us the importance of self-care in Scripture. And, you know, fully human, fully divine, and the fully human part of Christ needed self-care, mm-hmm, as well. There were times when he slept, he's with his disciples, and he's, you know, going across the Sea of Galilee, and hey, here's a chance, I'm going to take a nap. You know, as parents, we need to do that as well. Yes, a storm came along and he was needed. And you know what? Someone was able to wake him up in that moment and say, hey, we, yes, need you now. But, you know, he could take a moment for himself and rest. He was criticized because on the Sabbath, he was with his disciples going through the grain fields, and he collected grain for themselves, you know, to eat. He recognized, I need to feed myself. I'm hungry. You know, the rules may be saying something different, but we're hungry and we need to eat. Mm-hmm. He would regularly take time away for himself for prayer, either in solitude or away with his disciples. I love the story of him going across the Sea of Galilee, and he's trying to get away for some time for himself. And the crowds here where he's headed, they're following him along on the shore. And you know, he gets to where he's supposed to be having his time of respite. And there the crowds are waiting for him to get off the boat. And that's what happens sometimes to our self-care. We have a plan. It gets thwarted. But yet he still models good self-care there in that he administers to the needs of the crowd. And they say, we have no food. You know, how are we going to feed everybody? His disciples come to them. What are we going to do? Send them away. And he says, well, we'll feed them. You know, and we have the loaves and the fish and they're multiplied and everyone's fed. And then they're sent home. But then he sent his disciples away and he took the time for himself to go get the respite that he needed. And so self-care is modeled for us in the Bible. And it's so important to do. There are moments of crisis where I understand that self-care is going to be challenging. But when you're raising a child with special needs, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you need to keep your energy reserves up for that long road ahead. And that means understanding your physical needs, your emotional needs, and your spiritual needs. Rest when you need to. Eat well. Exercise as you can. Sometimes you have to be creative about how you fit that. But you can. Take care of your emotional health. A lot of folks let that one slide by. They just deal with a lot of stress and things maybe don't get processed. They don't get the opportunity to relax that they need. And that stress builds up and then things come out in inappropriate ways or ways that they wish they hadn't. And so understanding the need for a break is so important. I had a parent just yesterday sent me an email and asking for prayer, saying, you know, right as she's coming up this back to school time, you know, she's just feeling really stressed and frustrated and, you know, feeling like she's losing her patience. And I said, so, you know, of course we had some prayer for her. And I said, you know, kind of look at the pattern. I said, you know, I'm guessing maybe by the end of the day, it might be a little rough. You know, is there a way you could work in a little break for yourself? And so she wrote me back today and she says, that's just what I did. As soon as my husband got home from work, she says, I disappeared into a hot bath and I stayed there a really long time.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, her husband, it gave him a chance to be with the boys. He'd been at work all day and, you know, she took her break for herself. And I think just knowing she had that to look forward to at the end of the day kind of helped her, you know, keep it together a little bit better that day.
Right.
Yeah, two young, highly energetic boys at home and one with autism. That's a long day by the end of the day.
That is a long day. So would you say then that taking the time or keeping an awareness of taking care of yourself first so that you are able to be a better caretaker is one of those very difficult things that parents of children that have special needs have to work on a daily basis?
Absolutely. I think it's very easy to put others first all the time. And there just are moments where you just have to set that time for yourself. And one of the tools that I included in the book was actually a checklist to help parents find where they would like to put their energy in self-care. It's not helpful to try to do something that you're just not interested in doing. You know, if yoga is not your thing, don't sign up for a yoga class. That is not going to serve you well. But if yoga is your thing, right, you know, by all means, make the time to sign up. Once a week, take a yoga class. But understand where your interests are in self-care. And put your energy in there, because the last thing you need as a parent, that's one more way you'll wind up having guilt for yourself.
This is your host, Rebecca, and now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nucca.com. www.ElvaWashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
It's not helpful to try to do something that you're just not interested in doing. You know, if yoga is not your thing, don't sign up for a yoga class. That is not going to serve you well. But if yoga is your thing, right, you know, by all means, make the time, yes, to sign up. Once a week, take a yoga class. But understand where your interests are in, mm-hmm, self-care, and put your energy in there. Because the last thing you need as a parent, that's one more way you'll wind up having guilt for yourself.
And, you know, talking about when you were talking about Jesus taking that time, you actually place the scriptures there in your book where he actually was going and taking some quiet time and time for prayer. And there is now research and scientific information that supports that quiet time is actually very nurturing and very, very important for someone to be able to replenish their energy. So it was pretty smart, right?
Absolutely.
He was setting a really good example. And, you know, the other thing I was going to mention, if you cannot do yoga, which of course it is a wonderful thing if you can do it, just walking. Walking would be something that could be very stimulating to your creativity and as well good for your body, right?
Absolutely.
So you don't have to be that intense about it. It's just simple things that make a big difference.
Absolutely. And sometimes even just getting outdoors.
Yes.
And that's something technology makes so much easier to do because, you know, if you have a child who's resting, you can take that monitor with you, uh-huh, and step outside,
right,
and you can have that break and, you know, and be just in your own yard and still where you can hear them and be attentive if needed. But sometimes just a change of scenery and taking that little break for yourself is so important. And it can be something as simple as, you know, I'm going to sit on the back patio for 10 minutes, mm-hmm, 3 days this week. And it's, again, it's just that mental break, a little bit of downtime, really, really helpful to do. And I think another area you were talking about, things that are hard for parents, nurturing relationships. I think that's another area, mm-hmm, where it's really challenging because their time can sometimes get so committed to caring for a child. In addition to perhaps not taking as good a self-care as they should, mm-hmm, it's a real pitfall to let your relationships get a little bit too ignored or not give enough attention to the relationships that are truly important to you.
One of the things that I think about your book and that I find very unique about your book is that it's almost a blueprint because you don't just speak about a subject and then give psychological, scientific, and then also primarily scriptural, spiritual supporting information for it. But then you actually give a blueprint on how to use this as part of a support system for the church. So I think it's really very significant that you have put all this together that you can almost give to a place of worship as a curriculum and how they can actually provide support for special needs parents and family members. Correct?
Absolutely. And that was my goal behind that. Like I said, from remembering those days when, you know, I was very, very busy and, you know, I just needed a resource. I was happy to do what the person in my congregation was asking me to do. I just needed a resource to help me do it. And I already had the background of raising a child with special needs. So, you know, I already had a foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, if you're a leader in a congregation, and it doesn't have to be a clergy person leading the group necessarily, you know, a lay person could as well. But if you're being asked to lead a small group and that's not your lived experience, you might not understand what's most helpful for families. Mm-hmm. I had there's one church that I've worked with. They have a very large outreach that they do to special needs community. It's Wisata Community Church, mm-hmm, up in Wisata, Minnesota. And the pastor there said she was going to encourage her Stephen ministers, mm-hmm, to read the book because they have many families with special needs there who need a Stephen minister to speak with, you know, when they're going through a hard time. Well, maybe not all their Stephen ministers have raised a child with special needs, but by reading the book, they kind of had a window into what that world was, mm-hmm, and it opened a different kind of compassion and empathy by understanding that journey a little bit differently.
That's great. Let's move a little bit more on to specifically your ministry. You work in a place of hope and healing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that and why you do with parents there and what this place does for the family of kids that have special needs.
Yes, I work for the, it's called the Hope and Healing Center and Institute. Mm-hmm. And it was founded as a nonprofit. It was founded by St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Houston. Mm-hmm. And it's the largest Episcopal church in the country. Mm-hmm. And their focus is on restoring lives to health and wholeness. And so through any variety of programs, through our Hope and Healing Center, they do all the weekly programming. So they'll have support groups for Alzheimer's, for alcoholics, sex and love addicts, narcotics. I mean, any kind of a support group, 12-step type program, they offer those. Is again, Alzheimer's, caregiver support, bipolar, you know, any type of support group, they offer those. They also bring in speakers to do lunch and learns, any kind of topic that may be of interest to our community. All the programming is free. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our auditorium's open, smaller classrooms are open. And so we have these programs that are functioning and in any aspect that they can help build healthy family systems. The Hope and Healing Institute is their research arm. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's currently three fellows. I think there's two, but there's several that we've got some funding for that they're in the process of looking for. Ultimately, there will be eight mm-hmm. fellows there. And what we're doing is looking at those places where there's a disconnect, where there's resources needed that aren't there mm-hmm. and doing our research in that area. My particular focus is on, you know, helping support families with special needs with resources for emotional and spiritual health. And I have a fellow across the hall from me. She's doing an adoption and foster care ministry. And she has this wonderful model of helping congregations become more welcoming and supportive of families that are interested in adoption and foster care. Mm-hmm. Helping folks realize how that's not just a, oh, we have adopted, everything's great now. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a very complicated journey. That's mm-hmm. just the first step. And, right. and there's a lot of challenges that come with adoption and foster care. And so that's her area of focus. But each of the fellows, another one recently did something on marriage, each of the fellows are focused on anything that can build healthy family systems. Mm-hmm. So my particular research, I wrote this first book with the idea that either individuals or you know, congregations that would like to do a support group could offer this as a resource to increase personal and family resilience. Mm-hmm. I'm continuing my research. My next book that I'm working on, there's a research has indicated for families with children with special needs, there's a higher divorce rate, and in particular, a higher divorce rate within the first 3 years of diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I would love to create a resource that, again, can be used either by individuals or in a church or, you know, weekend intensives where couples could come together and work on specific skills, not just as a general marriage retreat, but as a marriage retreat focused specifically on a marriage raising a child with special needs mm-hmm. and have a resource that can help build resilience in that marriage early on. So currently what I'm doing is I'm interviewing couples, many, many couples that have resilient marriages and have dealt with some pretty significant challenges mm-hmm. and just hearing their stories, asking them questions about how do they stay connected? How do they communicate when things aren't going well? How do they cope individually and as a couple in the midst of crisis mm-hmm. and learning from them and then, you know, bouncing that up against the additional research that I'm doing. But I, you know, personal story, you know, who's mm-hmm. been there and done it well. Mm-hmm. That's the example that I want to share. And so that's the particular research that I'm focused on right now.
That's excellent. And so do you have churches actually contact you to be a consultant to help them develop a program similar to yours in their churches?
I do. I've had some churches looking at starting support groups. I do a lot of speaking at conferences mm-hmm. and, you know, so that's my opportunity to work with several individuals representing churches all at once. But I'll also have individual churches contact me. And sometimes this is with a variety of issues. I had one contact me looking for, they wanted to hire somebody. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, who could I suggest? They wanted me to be a headhunter for them. Uh-huh. And I said, I don't have that skill set of being a headhunter, but I can point you in the right direction. And Right. Here's some resources that you could investigate to find somebody. And but, you know, I said, please call me back and let me know how this goes. I don't want to leave you in the lurch. Uh-huh. But yes, helping churches understand when they have a need in particular, I'm absolutely, you know, happy to talk with them about how they can welcome families.
So, Dr. Bradley, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, do they go to your website or is it through the Hope and Healing Institute?
Absolutely. They can go to the Hope and Healing Center website, but our web address is hopeandhealingcenter.org. Mm-hmm. And a new thing that will happen on Monday is there going to be a separate website for the Institute, so the hopeandhealinginstitute.org. And then I have a personal website where I write a weekly blog, mm-hmm. and it has information on the conferences that that I have coming up.
Why don't you tell us that address again for your blog?
Oh, sure. It's specialneedsparenting.me.
Well, that sounds pretty simple. Specialneedsparenting.me. So, Dr. Bradley, before I let you go today, you have been there and definitely overcome many challenges, I am sure, in your road as being a parent of a child that has special needs and even written a book on this. So I would like you to leave the audience with just a couple of gems of those very difficult moments that you may have encountered and what you did to give you the hope that you needed to move to the next level. And just maybe one thing that what person can do today to help them make it through the day if they're having one of those difficult moments.
Absolutely. I think for me, at the times when it was really hard, it was so important to keep perspective and to look at, you know, whatever the challenge was of that day, I could look back and say, well, you know, a year ago, we were dealing with these other issues and those are now resolved. And, you know, look back and back and back and see the progress and see the change. Because sometimes when you're right in that moment, you lose track of how far you've come. And so I think for parents to have that perspective of how far they've come. I think another thing that's really important, you know, for me when I'm in that moment and it's hard, is to reach out and talk to somebody. And it's so easy to isolate yourself. And especially when you're going through a really hard, challenging time, find a community where you can connect, whether it's through a support group, you know, a close friend, a family member, you know, find for yourself that go-to person. Mm-hmm. who can be with you when times are really challenging. And prayer, just absolutely time in prayer is so important. And there are moments where I wouldn't even know what to pray. And so my prayer would just be, you know, God, I'm hurting and I need you today and I need you for my child. And you know what our path is and we don't, and just help us trust you. And just something simple like that, and trying to just let it go in that moment, let it go and give it over to God. It's hard because you can't see the future and you feel anxious for it. I know I did. I know other parents do. And saying it, you know, out loud to God, you know, I trust you on this path I cannot see. Lead me. And I would have never, you know, looking back, my son's 25. He just had his birthday this past Saturday. And, you know, if I'd looked back 20 years to say I would be leading this ministry in providing support to parents who have kids with special needs, I would have thought you were crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the path that God has led me to. And it's, you know, I just trust where he leads. Mm-hmm. And it's led us to a good place. My son is wonderful young man. He's confident. He's caring. Does he still have Asperger's? Absolutely. Does he cope with it well? Most days. Mm-hmm. But he is an incredible young man. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't change anything, because nice. He wouldn't be who he is if he were different.
Or you and wouldn't be who you are.
And I wouldn't be, exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't be who I am and where I am. Mm. And he's not the perfect child, but he's the perfect child for me.
Ah, beautifully said. Beautifully said to end this interview with those beautiful words. And God does work in mysterious ways, right? I mean, there's no doubt
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely.
So, oh, beautifully said, Dr. Bradley. Thank you so much for those beautiful words. And the book is Special Needs Parenting, From Coping to Thriving. And your book can be bought in Amazon.com. It's got beautiful reviews there. I know they can purchase it there. And you are coming up with a new book. And whenever I hear that from my guest, I always reach out with another invitation that I hope you come back and share your new book with us and come and talk to us again. Would you do that?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. That would be, I appreciate the invitation. And one other place the book is available is actually through my publisher, Huff Publishing. So folks can also find it at huffpublishing.com.
Huffpublishing.com. Perfect. Thank you so much. So we hope to talk to you again, Dr. Bradley, when you have your new book. And we thank you so much for the beautiful words you've shared today. And the book again is Special Needs Parenting, From Coping to Thriving. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
If you would like to advertise with us, please give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer@lifestyleimprovement.com.
Thank you for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement. And don't forget to join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for more helpful tips on lifestyle improvement.